I said, how much does it cost? Element is light. We call habit, once I'm stimulated, I got to start reading books. So I start reading Cervantes, Don Quixote, from the book on Spanish imperial Spain. So it was a truly fun show. But I'm not here to tell you about my education. I'm here to tell you, share with you about how the Lord still is in touch with you. Just one aspect. That I do sounds totally those who go to the those who live out of which they choose a little bit of God. Raised man, old man, wide-eyed, eating a human being in the story of Saturn. You know, there's a threat that his kids are going to take over, and so he starts eating, and it's disturbing. And but the painting, it's not the body that's being eaten that's disturbing. It's the disturbing in terms of his face, and accurate, and that's the fear of losing power. You see this crazed old man going. The fear of losing power is beautifully depicted, and I go, my goodness, this painting captures how a lot of us live this life, out of this middle, trying to manage our life, a little bit of God, a little bit of Jesus, underneath the bones of the as I'm thinking and feeling, I said, Lord, you know I need to speak to somebody, but what's the word? It's a passage I want to share with you. It's from John 12. As you can see, my thoughts are not all worked out. I had a vision to share almost impressionistically, like a collage. It's hard to live your life if you know you're going to die. That's one of the most terrible things. If you knew exactly the day, the month of your death, it's hard to live this life. So ignorance is bliss in that regard. Not knowing when you're going to die actually allows you to just live as though you're going to live forever. But Jesus did not have that luxury. Exactly when he knew he was going to die, we don't know that, but pretty early on, definitely early on, because at the start of his ministry, even John the Baptist, his cousin, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And of course, Jesus knew that as well. And yet, he lived life in Spain, you see artistically these huge crucifixes with body nailed on the cross. And so he knew that his life was given to God the Father, given to creation, given to people that he loved. And the way he's going to save creation and the people that he loved was through immense suffering, pain. But it wasn't just this event. It was actually a way of gaining insight. It's an insight into the nature of life, of life of anyone who would follow after Jesus. So that's the context of this passage. So in 23, Jesus, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So he's got this teaching that initially it's hard for human beings to understand. What he's saying is, listen, there is a fullness of life called eternal life. There is only one way, and it's death. Like, what? I want the fullness, but is there some other route to the city called eternal life? Can't I have it and eat it too? Isn't that what life is about? Like, have all the good, yummy stuff according to me, and I get the thing, great thing at the end too, and Jesus, no, that's not how it works. The greatest thing is me. The greatest thing is God. And the greatest thing is life in God. But given your sinfulness, given your brokenness, given your heart that misleads you, given your self is ambition, there's only one way, and that is death. That is dying to your earthly desires. Your self-will, your agenda, your control. There is no other route to the city called eternal life. There's only one way, but if you find it, my goodness, you will. So Jesus says, unless this kernel, this grain of wheat dies, so to speak, if it just stays there, doesn't die, it just remains a seed, and it's as though your life and my life was never real. Your life is important. My life is important. But the way we live our lives can end up kind of meaningless. Yes, and it's important to you and your family, but beyond that, it really does not have much significance beyond that in the world, in God's world. This is a Hebraism, to use extremes. He's not asking us to hate mom and dad, hate your life. It's a way of painting a picture. It's like painting a picture with black and white. It's like a Van Gogh painting. It's extreme. There's no pastel-y stuff. He's saying, look, if you really want life, go through death. But if you want death, maintain your love for your life. So I say, hate your life. Give away your life. Give it away. In Spain, different people that I read and saw lived that life. No two person lives the same life. Everyone has a different calling. Some are actually martyred. There's a picture I'm going to show. I'm going to ask Linda to show. And it's a picture of two sisters. This is in the Cathedral of Seville. die first. Her body, thrown into a well, was later recovered by the bishop Sabinus. Diogenes believed that the death of Eusta would break the resolve of Rufina. Rufina refused to renounce her faith and was thus thrown to the lions. However, the lions in the amphitheater refused to attack Rufina, so you see the lion next to Rufina licking her. Remaining as docile as house cats, infuriated, Diogenes had Rufina's neck broken and her body burned. Her remains were recovered by Sabinus and buried alongside her sister. Two girls. Not a simple, not just a simple, courageous act. Everyone is pressured to worship Venus. It's like a state festival. And they say, no, we can't do that. And they kind of violently so in the painting, you see the statue of Venus broken, lion licking the Venus foot, and then in the background is La Giralda, which is the tower, 347 feet tower in the cathedral symbol. It was a minaret. The Christians, the Muslims were conquered in that city in 1248. They turned that into prayer. They added bells. So the local people said, given the number of earthquakes, it's a miracle that this tower has never fallen. They attribute that to the intercession of the two sisters. And so this is just one story. One story of regular people living out their regular faith. And that regular faith is a total givenness to God, given openness to God. Now, this kind of martyrdom doesn't occur regularly. It still happens here and there. But this is just one expression of that. The next picture I'm going to show is the building of the church. And this doesn't do justice. I mean, you've got to actually go there. And so this is designed by an architect. So his biography is coming in a few days. And so he started the project as a dandy, as man of the world. But in the course of working on this building, he gets really close to God. He is obsessed with God. And what is striking about all his works, this building and the Casa Mila, the other buildings, it's crazy. It's like Dr. Seuss with, as an architect, it's like crazy colors and curves. He hated any straight lines. So any church, any building he had, he just hated. Everything is curved. And I thought, my goodness. On the one hand, he's pious, he's prayerful, and but on the other hand, he's like crazy. Crazy in the good way. Full of imagination. And of course, when I was thinking that, I go, Lord, may that anointing be on Sabrina. And anyone who's in Sabrina, when you go after God, you don't forsake faith. Okay? When you go after God, you don't forsake imagination. When you go after God, you don't forsake artistic abilities. When you go after God, the way you glorify God actually will increase the talents that God's given you. So here's this crazy man, and I'm just fascinated with this man. In his later years, he was so given to prayer and fasting, not caring about how he looked. He actually looked homeless, and actually that's how he died. He would use safety pins to keep his clothes They didn't pay him any attention. They didn't know this was the most famous architect in Barcelona. And when they, you know, got him off the pavement, you know, off the pavement, they put him in a poor hospital and he ended up dying. Well, he's not fine. He wasn't thrown into the lions. He lived like a sister. And I was so inspired. I think more than buildings and food, what I get inspired naturally back to America. I said, Lord, I would love to be in America. I would love for our family to just be involved. And Anthony Gowdy spent every night in this place. What he would do is he would have pilgrimages from where he was, from Rome, a day's journey to different churches, and he would just gather as many people along the way. He would stop and have the people concerned. He thought the way that people got touched by God was through conviviality, food, fun, and fellowship. That's lovely. That is so true. What human being rejects fun and fellowship? So this man is Lazarus. I was curious about his parallels. Peter and Ron's fire is obviously one of the gifts that she had. She would go into prayer and someone would name the person and she would describe the prayer life of that person. Peter and Ron's fire would not even have, she's not the star. It's an unusual gift. She would almost be possessed by the Holy Spirit. And the theologian, Balthasar, named some name that she had no idea. She entered into that person's prayer. This is what this book of Romans is. This is how she describes Philip and Mary. He gives God in prayer as much love as it is possible to give. And after every time he adores the child Jesus, the adult Lord, Christ on the cross, or God the Creator of the Holy Spirit, he tries in prayer, but also in the periods of time that lie between serious prayer to prepare surprises for them. Surprises for God the Father. To give them some gift, to prepare for them a little joy. This is not an excessive anthropomorphizing of God, but rather the need to be so demonstrative of his love and to be able to reveal it so much that he would never come up short when he has to love other people. He's like practicing loving God so then when he meets an unlovable person, it's almost automatic. He's been so engaged in loving God. He prays a lot, and in his contemplation, he sees the Lord and his concerns from the perspective of God. He sees the church and her need, men and their lack. And he constantly has love alone as the means to see, to experience, to help. The love of God which man receives and is permitted to give in return. He is an apostle of love. His love bears a very human quality, but one that pleases God greatly, namely the desire to cultivate variety. In a sense, someone who's trying to move somebody. Like a father who wants to bring joy and delight to his kids. He does that. And the fact that he himself never gets bored by God allows him to see that the paths of God's love have an infinite variety. What he most desires is to carry love to those who have never experienced it in order to bring them the great surprise of love in his joy. Thus to make them marvel because they are receiving something they did not expect, something that was unknown to them. And sometimes when he adores God, he seems to him that God has at bottom never experienced love for human beings except for the love that they incarnate Son showed to God the Father. He would like himself to give God the joy of love, but he would also like to encourage other things. And it goes on. To be sure, he can look foolish from time to time in the manner of a person who is not particularly loved. He didn't know that God above exists, and so he wanted to be a messenger of that love. But in order for him to give that love, he needed time with God in love to know how to love God and receive love from God and then act on that foolishness, to act in a joyous way, in an inviting way, knowing that people saw him as a loony, as a crazy person, so that people could see, taste, a little bit of God. In time, buildings will be built. In time, the greatest food will be destroyed. In time, the paintings in the museum will get dirty or discolored. In time, just like Spain, there's a rise and fall of empires. In time, anything in human creation will come and go. But in the meantime, you and I are crafting and curating with God something that will last for all. So the gift of this life is for you and I at work. Curating with God something. The ingredients of this beauty are already there. You don't have to be great to be great. You bring whatever material that you have, your cement, your palette, your gifts, your doubts, your pain, your weakness, whatever it is, you bring it and you say, Lord, make something of this. My life, make something. And I give it to you. Because some of these things are just tiring me out. I just give it to you. I die to myself. And I say, it's all yours. I'm just a renter. You are the owner. I just want to give everything to you. And I want to live in peace. Language I'm speaking is all about the heart. I don't have any wonderful resources. Doesn't apply to me. It's about the heart. understood the principle of dying in order to live. And so we acknowledge there is a kind of pain to dying, Lord. There's a psychological pain because it feels better for us to own and control than to give it up. So, Lord, give us the wisdom. Give us the insight to see. My goodness, we can't even control our lives to begin with. So we give it to the one who actually controls our lives. Anyway, we give it to you. And we cease from anxiety. We cease from worrying. We cease from worrying about our future. We cease from worrying about our reputation. We cease worrying about our finances. Worrying about our health. We are wise. We're going to be mindful, but we're not going to live in a spirit of fear and worry and control. We want to live in freedom, joy, power, dying to ourselves, living unto God. And I pray especially for our young people. I'm just going to use the figures here. Sibling, okay? If you're dos hermanas, if you would stand up, or a brother, okay? So, Donna, Serena, and the Beck girls, if you are sisters, you, Alex, you could represent your family. If you are a child, if you have a sibling, just stand up. Sisters were one in spirit, one in heart, and they were one in commitment to Jesus. Although they had two different personalities, of course, they had something deep in common, and that is their devotion to Jesus. So, Father, I pray for all the siblings here, and even the only childs here. And we pray, Lord, beyond the human natural connection, would you bring about a spiritual connection among the siblings? Dos hermanas, or dos hermanos. Anoint the sibling relationship in Jesus' name. And may it be like Yusta and Rufina. That together they would never walk away. They would never deny you. They will always be one another's courage. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. The other person is Gowdy, Anthony Gowdy, and so I'm going to ask Serena to remain standing. Of people who are called into creativity, okay. I believe there are anointings. There is a Spirit of God with particular just, what are you thinking of? What's on your heart? What brings you delight? Lord, give me some tips of loving you well and loving other people well. Give me some creative, fun ways of showing love. Lord, give us ideas and ways of loving people well. So, Father, I ask for this release of love and prayer and even foolishness to just act out of love. Freedom of our hearts and souls to live in the power of love. So be with all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to the person of love, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And a place like Spain, you know, you see the centrality of the church, but at the center of genuine church is Jesus Christ. And although he did not live a long life on the earth, 33 years, this one singular life has had the greatest impact. And his disciples have the greatest impact.